Born in 1920, as the Spanish flu ravages her South American homeland, Violeta del Valle enters the world as the first daughter after five sons in a wealthy family. Her birth coincides with unprecedented mortality. Bodies pile in streets while privileged families like hers retreat behind locked gates. Her father, Arsenio, a financial visionary with questionable ethics, has fortified their estate with armed guards and stockpiled supplies. The family mansion, Camellia House, stands as a symbol of faded glory, a sprawling property acquired through payments Arsenio eventually stopped making, like many of his business dealings. Violeta grows spoiled and unmanageable until Miss Josephine Taylor arrives, not the matronly English governess expected, but a stylish American with modern ideas who transforms Violeta through patience and innovative teaching. More importantly, she quietly exposes her to progressive ideas about women's rights that will shape Violeta's worldview throughout her extraordinary life. The 1929 stock market crash violently shatters Violeta's sheltered existence. Her father's financial empire, built on speculation and pyramid schemes, crumbles spectacularly. After learning of their impending eviction and facing arrest warrants for fraud, Arsenio takes his own life with an English revolver. Young Violeta discovers his body with a strange emotional detachment that will haunt her dreams for decades. The family conceals the suicide, claiming heart failure to secure a Catholic burial during desperate times when many wealthy men met similar ends, their deaths carefully rewritten to preserve dignity. What begins as exile in remote Nahuel becomes a 9-year period of unexpected growth. The Rivas family generously welcomes the displaced Del Valles, and Violeta quickly adapts to rural life. When Miss Taylor suggests sending 14-year-old Violeta to boarding school, she threatens to run away, insisting she learns more on the farm, which proves true. Her education takes unexpected forms, studying medicinal plants with indigenous healer Yaima, teaching with a nomadic school, and developing practical skills unthinkable in her previous life. At 20, Violeta marries Fabian Schmidt Engler, a veterinarian from a prosperous German family, settling into a comfortable but uninspired life. Everything changes when Julian Bravo, a decorated RAF pilot, arrives in a seaplane, exuding danger and sexuality. Despite her marriage, Violeta begins a passionate affair, discovering the fundamental difference between an uninspired husband and a passionate lover. The experience is transformative. At 28, I discovered the surprising possibilities of pleasure. My monumental ignorance of my own body dissolved under Julian's skilled touch. When Violeta asks Fabian for separation, he refuses to consider annulment, the only option before divorce became legal. With Julian, Violeta experiences both ecstasy and torment. They have two children, Juan Martin, a sensitive boy resembling neither parent, and Nieves, born with her father's adventurous spirit. Their relationship deteriorates as Julian disappears for weeks, conducts mysterious flights, and works for the Cuban mafia. Seeing Julian's cash profits, Violeta proposes they start Seagull Air, a legitimate seaplane business, insisting on a documented 50-50 partnership. Motherhood brings Violeta profound joy and devastating heartbreak. Juan Martin grows into a thoughtful intellectual despite Julian's criticism of his sensitivity. Meanwhile, Nieves becomes the focus of Julian's obsessive attention. When she turns 14, he begins taking her on private trips, like a father-daughter honeymoon. He teaches her to drive and pilot planes, provides cigarettes and alcohol, and takes her to nightclubs where people mistake her for his girlfriend. This unhealthy dynamic leads to tragedy when Nieves runs away with Joe Santoro, a small-time gangster posing as a talent agent. She descends into the hippie counterculture of psychedelic music and drugs. After nearly dying from a heroin overdose and escaping rehabilitation, Nieves, now pregnant and determined to get clean for her baby, finds refuge with a Mexican seamstress in Los Angeles. When Violetta joins her, they experience a precious reconciliation. Tragically, Nieves develops eclampsia during childbirth and dies after delivering her son, Camilo. In the hospital chapel, Violetta promises her deceased daughter she will be mother, father, and grandmother to Camilo, loving him enough to make up for Nieves' absence. Violetta's democratic world crumbles when a military coup overthrows the socialist president. Her son, Juan Martin, a university student with progressive ideals, becomes endangered when fellow students begin disappearing. Violetta helps him escape across the border disguised as a woman, a journey extended from 2 to 7 hours by military checkpoints. They pass undetected, largely because soldiers, blinded by class prejudice, barely glance at the supposed nanny. For 4 years, Violetta hears nothing from Juan Martin before discovering he's living under a false identity in Argentina, writing exposés about their country's dictatorship. Just as he establishes himself, Argentina suffers its own military coup, with the commander-in-chief granting death squads complete impunity to kill as many people as necessary to restore order. During this dark period, Violetta learns her old friend Torito is among the disappeared when she recognizes the wooden cross she carved for him among belongings recovered from a sealed mountain cave. This devastating revelation forces her to question her privileged life and material comforts. Throughout political turmoil, Violetta demonstrates remarkable business acumen. After selling her prefabricated home business, she turns to property investment, buying well-located properties, renovating them, and selling for substantial profit. Her financial independence becomes a source of power and security in an uncertain world. As democracy returns in the late 1980s, Violetta enters her seventh decade with an easy spirit and a new love. Harold Fisk, the Norwegian birdwatcher who had helped Juan Martin escape, reappears as his country's ambassador and becomes her companion. Their relationship proves that falling in love in old age could have the same intensity as in youth, but without the drama that characterized her relationship with Julian. With democracy's return, Violetta finds her true purpose. She establishes the Nieves Foundation to fight domestic violence, inspired by a woman beaten by her police officer husband. The foundation focuses on reporting, informing, educating, protecting victims, punishing perpetrators, and advocating for legislation against domestic violence. As she faces her final days during the 2020 coronavirus pandemic, Violetta returns to Santa Clara Farm, creating a poetic symmetry. Born during the 1918 influenza pandemic, she completes her journey during another global health crisis. Her life spans 73 leather-bound diaries and thousands of letters, yet her philosophy remains simple: treat others as I want them to treat me. Morphine brings both comfort and clarity, enabling vivid visions and moments of astral projection where she floats about her body in transcendent freedom. Though generally at peace about what awaits, she occasionally fears total desolation might be the final reality. These dark thoughts are consistently overcome by her belief in light, a lot of light. In her final moments, Violetta sees her beloved daughter Nieves coming to guide her onward. Her century-long journey of personal triumphs and failures, political upheavals, and social transformations concludes with the same grace that marked her life. What endures is her legacy of resilience and the wisdom gained from embracing life's full complexity, with all its joys and sorrows.